Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Hebrews chapter 6 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1295. If you're reading just the first three verses, we'll read these verses all together. Verses 1 through 3 of chapter 6 of Hebrews. And let's stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist Church. And we'll begin together, please, there on the first verse. Ready? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it was eternally existent before the world began. There was your word. Thank you for handing down to us faithful copies through the King James Bible. We thank you for providing for us through this book and how faithful you've been. Once again, meet with us tonight and help us to be dedicated listeners tonight, and help our preacher as he comes and truly fill him with thy spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you comfortable tonight? Anybody too warm? Anybody too cool? All right. Let's make it 1 degree cooler in here. And I'm sure somebody is saying right now, "Old brother," but it so happens that I'm not. I'm a little warm, and I have more electoral votes than you have. And so now I want you to take your Bibles for a moment and turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I want to teach you about 5 minutes, and then pray and bring the most unusual sermon you ever heard in your life. Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to read, as you follow along, the same three verses read a while ago, plus three other verses, and teach you something, and then pray and make the message. But let me remind you before I read that the apostle is writing to Christian people here. He is writing to new Christians, new in the faith, saved from Judaism, or the Jewish religion, to salvation through Christ. He's admonishing them to keep on growing. Let me tell you what he has in mind. What God wants you to do is the same thing that every parent wants his child to do. You want your child to be healthy and to gradually grow. You don't want your child to quote the Gettysburg Address from the nursery, but you don't want him saying "Dada" and "Mama" when he's a senior in college either. You want your child to have a normal growth, not spectacular, just a normal growth, so the child will enjoy each phase and stage of life. That's what I want for you. Listen to me now. That's what I want for you. What Paul is saying here, he's saying, I want you to have a steady growth in grace and until you mature. Now he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, he's not saying, Don't mention the doctrine of Christ. He's saying, keep that and go beyond that. Let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now the next verse, listen carefully. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. Now look at me and close your Bibles and look at me carefully. Paul is not writing to the unsaved. He is writing to God's people recently converted from the Jewish religion or from Judaism. Now listen carefully. There are those who say, ushers back in the back, slip out in the hallway and do the talking, would you please? There are those who say that this means that if you come to have a chance to get saved and you put it off, there'll come a time when you will not be able to get saved. I do not think for a moment that's what this is talking about. I've often said, I don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but he was a Christian man writing to Christian people. I think it was the Apostle Paul writing to Christian people. There are others who say that this means that if you get saved and you lose your salvation, you can't get saved again. They use this scripture here. It says, impossible for those who are once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance. That's not what it's talking about either. Paul is talking about the Jewish people, the Israelites, who went from Egypt to the land of Canaan. They went to the door of Canaan, to Kadesh Barnea, and they had a chance to go in the land and possess the land. They sent out the 12 spies. 12 spies said, uh-oh, we can't do it, can't make it. There are giants there, and it's land of milk and honey, but we're not able to take the land. Because of that, that entire generation over the age of 20 died in the wilderness, and for 40 years the people of God wandered until they came back and took possession of the land. Now what God is saying is this. God is saying, if you get saved, you're supposed to keep on steadily growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Now, if you detour there, he's saying you'll never have the same chance you would have had. Brother Paul Vineyard spoke tonight so well. If Brother Paul had gone and sowed his wild oats back yonder for 8 or 10 years and messed up his life, God could have still used him, but he couldn't have used him like he's using him now. What he's saying is your second chance of serving God will not be as good as your first chance. And your third chance will not be as good as your first and second chances. Now I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. Your Christian growth in 2000. This is a little message teaching you how to use this church and the preaching here to help you to be the kind of Christian you ought to be in the year 2000. You go down and get some medicine these days and get a prescription filled, and there'll be a big paper there telling you all the things that medicine can do to hurt you. And reminding you that if you take that medicine, you'll be in worse shape with other things than you are with what you're taking the medicine for. Inside any little object that you buy, especially if there's some assembling to be done, there are instructions of how to put it together. Now, this tonight is a set of instructions to show you how to use the First Baptist Church, how to use me. How to use me and how to use the pulpit here and the preaching here in the year 2000. I prepared this message for a New Year's message. I decided not to do it. I waited and I waited and I waited because I felt like it may be a little too simple for you. And yet, getting to know you better, I found out how simple you are. I feel like I can present it tonight. So listen carefully. Father, bless me as I speak. I want to be a help. But more than that, I want to show my people how they can use me this year. And use my preaching, and use this pulpit, and use this church. Help me as I give the instructions for the merchandise we have to offer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me show you. Substrate, no one talking, all the teenagers looking right this way. All of us alert and listening. Every child, put your coloring book up. I want you to listen through now. Let me show you how to grow as a Christian in 2000. Let me show you how to use my preaching in 2000. Let me show you how not to be offended at my preaching in 2000. Let me show you how to stay happy at First Baptist Church. You see, we have people here tonight who are infants in Christ that got saved this morning. And they're infants. I've been saved, for example, for, let's see, 62 years I've been a Christian. And some of you have been saved longer than that. Now, I want to show you tonight how you, regardless of whether you've been saved 6 hours or you've been saved 60 years, I want to show you how you can make the most of your church and your pastor and his preaching this year. Now, first, let me show you how to enjoy church to the uttermost. Some of you here tonight because you want to be here. Some of you here because you feel like you've got to be here. And some of you are here because your wife's going to divorce you if you didn't come. But I want to show you how you can enjoy the church services and your church to the utmost in 1900 and 2000. Now, let me show you, listen to me now, let me show you my predicament as a preacher. I must prepare a meal for every spiritual age. Think about that. I also must prepare a meal for every physical age. Listen to me over here. I'm talking to you. Hey, young folks, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Sit up straight and hear what I've got to say. Beloved in the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And one is temperance. That comes from the word temper. It means lose your temper. You see a bunch of kids misbehaving. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. I must prepare a meal for a little child and a senior saint and serve that meal at the same time. I must prepare a meal for not only every spiritual age and every physical age, but likewise I must prepare a meal for every intellectual level. Let me tell you what I mean. Picture preparing a sermon for someone who just became a Christian last week and someone who's been a Christian for 50 years. That same sermon must be prepared for a 6-year-old child and an 80-year-old saint. That same sermon must be preached to a sleep person and also to a heart surgeon. Think about that. That same sermon must be preached to a bus kid and also to an attorney. Now, all that, this happens every time I preach here in First Baptist Church of Hammond. That same sermon must be prepared and a same meal must be given to a person who is illiterate and cannot read, to several of our people who have PhD degrees. That same sermon must feed a teenager and also an elderly widow. That same sermon must feed a person on welfare, and you won't believe this, but we have some millionaires here in this building, Brother Moffitt and a few others. Oh, that's a hundred air, thousand air. Anyway, hot air, I guess. But anyway, we have people in this church who could write a check for $1 million tonight. I'd like to see them all in my office after the service is over. And we also have people that are on welfare. We have folks that will buy their groceries from their plenty, and we'll have folks that will buy their groceries from food stamps this coming week. Imagine preparing a sermon for someone who knows no Bible, and the same service, that same sermon is for someone who is a theologian, if you please, or an ordained preacher. We probably have 75 to 100 ordained preachers in this room tonight. Now, the same sermon, I'm trying to show you my predicament. I want you to be crying after a while, but the same meal that I prepare for a person that doesn't even know the Bible and has no Bible of his own, I must also feed ordained preachers at the same time. More poor people attend First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, than any church in the world. Likewise, according to a survey made by someone outside this church and not even a Baptist, more college graduates are in this auditorium tonight than any church in the world. That's what I read. The publication, First Baptist Church of Hammond, has more college graduates. Let me show you. No, I won't embarrass anybody. But there are more college graduates in this church. Now, I've got to feed the illiterate fella the same sermon. I've got to feed the college graduates, if you please. A person is here who I'm going to have to feed who can barely speak English. Like Brother Ray Young, for example. and all Yankees who can barely speak English. On the other hand, I am preaching the same sermon tonight to English teachers, probably 15 to 20 English teachers, some college teachers, some high school teachers, some grade school teachers, but teachers of English. I must bring the same message and the same spiritual meal to them. That isn't all. I must speak tonight and on Sunday the same sermon to a former gang member and also to a person who is a theologian. I must speak and give the same message to the family that joined last Sunday, to a family who's been here for 60, 70 years in First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I must bring the same sermon to Brother Paul Johnson, who's memorized most of the Bible, and at one night in pastor school quoted the entire book of Revelation standing right here on this platform. And I must bring the same message to Paul Johnson, who's memorized most of the Bible, to someone that doesn't even own a Bible. Now, ladies, you try something like that. You try preparing one meal for a newborn baby, pablum and milk, and then a child, same meal, Big Mac and fries, and then a teenager, pizza and pop, and then a hardworking man, steak and potatoes, and then a fat lady, a well-upholstered lady on a diet, and then a heart patient, and a diabetic, and a vegetarian, and then a senior citizen back on pablum and milk once again. Now you take all of those, try that sometime, preparing a meal at the same meal, and by the way, you got to feed them all in 30 minutes, or they'll get mad and complain. Add to that Chinese food for the Orientals. Add to that tortillas, tamales, enchiladas, burritos for the Mexican and Spanish-speaking people. Have it all in one meal and serve it in 30 minutes. And suppose everybody had to taste every... Listen, young people. Hey, sit up and listen to me. Right, that boy right there, look at his girlfriend. Sit up and look this way. I'm talking to you. You need what I'm saying tonight. I didn't prepare this sermon so you could court that girl there. Now listen carefully. And by the way, that's love. To get some backslidden kid to hear the preaching is love, ladies and gentlemen. You say, that's my boy. Don't apologize to me for how you reared the kid. Don't apologize to me. Now, everybody, all these people, I mean, the fellow has steak and potatoes has got to taste some of the pablum. And a little child that has the pablum and milk's got to eat a bit of steak. Try preparing a meal like that and see how much success. That's what I face every time I walk behind this pulpit. And suppose that there you have some idea of the frustration of preaching. I asked myself in a prayer sermon, will somebody choke on this? Here's the guy I got saved this morning. And he's got long hair. He hears me throw a fit about long hair tonight. Here's a gal who got saved this morning. I preached against wearing pants, and tonight she comes in her pants and sits in the church service. I've got to feed the same meal to that newborn babe in Christ, to that person that's mature in the Lord. Now, will someone choke on this food, on the other's food? Will someone become ill by listening to the other's food? Will some become offended and walk out because I've got to feed the mature Christian as well as the baby Christian? Or will the mature Christian think that I'm being too immature or too simple, if you please, because I'm being simple? Or will the scholar complain because I'm breaking it down where the teenagers can understand it? Or will the person that knows theology complain because I'm making it so simple? All of that in the same sermon, same service, same meal. Or will some be undernourished? About all I can do, and I do this, is put some pablum in every sermon. And some pizza and pop in every sermon. And some Big Mac and fries in every sermon. And some steak and potatoes in every sermon. And something, I try to put something in every sermon for the child, something in every sermon for the teenager, something in every sermon for the adult, something in every sermon for the baby Christian, something in every sermon for the mature Christian. That's what I do. Every time I preach a sermon, I will go through that sermon and say, what is in here for a child, and what is in here for a teenager, and what is in here for a young adult, and what is in here for a senior citizen, and what is in here for an illiterate person, and what is in here for an intellectual person, and what is in here for a baby Christian, and what is in here for a seasoned, mature Christian. And I try to feed everybody from that same sermon. Now, the only way I can do it is spread it like a buffet. That's all I can do. I cannot get manna from heaven to give everybody his needs in one little tablet. Nor can I give you a particular food that will be good for every age of Christian and every development in a Christian's life. I cannot do that. Now listen, don't leave me now. This means that I will display, hear me carefully, I will display some spiritual food that will be too heavy for some and too light for others. Let me tell you how to handle it. Number one, keep coming. Instruction number one for 2000, keep coming. Don't miss a service. There's something that you need Sunday morning and something you need Sunday night. And don't be offended because we're over your head and because we're trying to get a Christian been saved for 25 years, more sanctified, and trying to get you just to start. Here's a Christian that just started the Christian race. Here's another over here that's been on the road all these many years. Don't become offended because I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to feed the fellow been here longer than you have. So don't become offended and keep on coming. Don't miss the service. Number two, don't become angry because of something on the menu you don't like. It's a buffet. That's all I can do. I've got to say some things too strong for some and too shallow for others. That's all I can do. So, if you don't like something on the buffet, now we were down in Caracas, Venezuela. They don't eat food down there. They had a buffet. And I know what this stuff was. I don't know what one, the only vegetable I saw was were potatoes and rice. Everything else is crazy. Crazy. So what did I do? I got me a bunch of rocks and threw them inside every dish I didn't eat from. That's what you do. No, I just left alone what I didn't like. For example, I hate with a passion. Purple passion. Liver and onions. Anybody that likes liver and onions is not right with God. I hate them with a passion. And I'll tell you what, brother, I'll never eat in a restaurant that serves them. If I ever go to a buffet and find liver and onions there on the buffet, I'll move my membership to another cafe or restaurant. No, I don't do that. I just pass by the liver and onions. For example, I don't like egg whites. I don't like anything when you chew it, it's in the same shape it was before you chewed it. Nothing. To me, I'd rather die and face God than eat one poached egg. And an egg sunny side up. All that gooey stuff running all over that thing, and that rubbery kind of white in there. Nobody's right with God that likes poached eggs. All right, sunny side. I'm preaching the Bible to you tonight. Now, so I won't go to a restaurant that serves eggs sunny side up. I go to a restaurant, and if they on the menu have poached eggs, I'll join another restaurant. Well, of course I don't. I get my, Dr. Streeter, I get my usual oatmeal and a piece of wheat toast. I do have a poached egg. But the honest truth is, I do not become offended if there's something on the buffet that I do not like. There are many things. For example, I don't really care a great deal for, I don't like rare steak.
I don't like the cow kicking while I eat it. I don't like that at all. And I don't like when I cut a piece, I don't like that to use a Band-Aid on the next piece. I don't like that at all. So if I go to a restaurant where they serve a rare steak, I get up and walk out. No, I don't. I started to say I just order one well done, but I can't have steak because of my heart condition, and I haven't had a steak. Brother, I'd kill for a steak. I want one well done. I don't want one that's just wounded. I want one that's dead. Now, what I'm saying is, you know what I'm saying. You sit there at the buffet I present. If you hear one sentence I don't like, you don't get the sentence I put in there for you. So you go to somebody else's church. And or you'll go somewhere else and move a membership. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to feed a mature child of God. I'm trying to comfort a senior saint. I'm trying to make a teenager sit up and be still. I'm trying to keep a child awake. I'm trying to feed college professors and school teachers and PhDs and college graduates and bus people and street people all in the same meal. I'm saying, in case you want to be the Christian you ought to be and utilize me as you need to utilize me in year 2000, then you take what is for you in the meal and don't get upset because I've got something there for somebody else. Don't deprive yourself of having your needs met just because you don't eat the rest. Number three. Do not think I'm shallow when I feed pablum to someone who just got saved. Or give an illustration that they need that you've heard 3,000 times. It may be, like this morning, I used an illustration about the little girl, John Bunyan's daughter. I've used it again and again and again. But these young preachers that just came to Howells Anderson College this semester, they need to know that Christianity, like John Bunyan, is what we need today. And it may be that some young Christian here, he said, oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, but the fellow joined 2 months ago, or the college student that came 2 weeks ago, he hasn't heard it yet. So don't you sit there and complain because you see a meal delivered that you've already eaten time and time again. Somebody here needs it. So just take what you want on the buffet and let the rest go. Number four, don't choose where you eat spiritually by size. I'm a little tired of people saying, well, I just want to get in a smaller church. Well, then, why don't you say the same thing about the doctor? I don't want to go to the Mayo Clinic. Too many folks up there. It's like Yogi Berra said about a restaurant. He said, nobody goes down there anymore. It's too crowded. If I were you, I'd want to go to the doctor who's had the most patients turn out right. Now, I'd rather go to Mayo Clinic and sit there for a week than go to some little doctor that just started his practice in a storefront building and he's having his first surgery. I want him to cut on Moffitt before he cuts on me. Now you listen to me. Well, I want a smaller clinic. In fact, there's a young doctor down there. I got to grow old with him. You go down there and you won't grow old. First Baptist Church of Hammond, say what you want to say. So call me what you want to call me. First Baptist Church of Hammond is the Mayo Clinic of Fundamentalism. And if you're fortunate enough to live in this area, you'd be a lot better off to go to Mayo Clinic. And by the way, you young folks growing up in this church, when you get up and marry and have your children, you stay right here. But I want to go somewhere, and I want to get in some of those smaller church where I can work. See, Brother Moffitt, he has some bus routes available. Now, the honest, simple truth is, ladies and gentlemen, if you grow up in this church, you owe this church a debt. And you teenagers here,
You grow up, if you stay in Hammond, you get married, you have kids, and you hear the kids sitting in the same pews where you grew up. Don't choose the size. For the five, just grow. Let me go back a minute. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said to the Corinthian people, I've got to feed you on a certain diet. I can't feed you meat, he said. I've got to feed you with milk. In fact, he said in one place, I've determined among you to preach nothing but Christ crucified. I've heard a bunch of evangelical preachers get up and say, we're just supposed to preach Christ crucified. You got a hole in your head big enough for a Mack truck to drive through. Not true at all. Paul was writing to a bunch of baby Christians and said, you're a bunch of babies. He said, you choked to death on meat. I've got to feed you with milk. And so I've got to, but in Hebrews chapter 6, he said, leave the doctrine, just the doctrine of Christ, and go on to deeper truths and deeper Christian life. And yet he wrote the Thessalonian people, talked about the rapture, the Antichrist, tribulation period, battle of Armageddon. Both new churches, this church over here needed milk, just Christ crucified. And yet this church over here had gone beyond that. They had not left that. They'd gone beyond that. And Paul could tell him not only about the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, but the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then he wrote to Ephesians. He talked to them about the heavenly life. He talked to them about living in the heavenlies. He talked to Ephesians about being filled with the Spirit. Didn't say a word to the Corinthians about being filled with the Spirit. But he talked to, didn't say a word to the Corinthians about the heavenly, totally dedicated life. He gave them milk. But the church in Thessalonica, he gave them heavier doctrine. He gave the church in Ephesus even heavier doctrine because they were more mature. On the other hand, he wrote to the Hebrews, talked to them about the tabernacle, the priesthood, the covenants, the angels, and other doctrines. This is the most diverse congregation in the world. We have bus kids that came to heaven today and go back to hell tonight. We have people tonight that go back to $500,000 homes. We have folks tonight that will go on a bus that will break down before they get back home, probably. And we have folks tonight that will drive nice, new, luxury cars, such as the one you gave Ms. Hobbs and me. We have people tonight who have no money in the bank whatsoever, and we have people tonight that have hundreds of thousands and no doubt millions of dollars. They all sit in this room tonight, a diverse congregation, and I'm trying to get everybody to keep on growing. I'm not asking you that God saved this morning to be up here tonight. I want you to be up here, and then up here, and then up here. But when the food is passed out, it's too heavy for you, don't get upset about it. You take what you can digest and what's good for your own spiritual age and use it for your spiritual growth. One of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. The word is in the future perfect tense, which means be ye therefore, be becoming perfect. Be ye therefore on your way to being perfect. So tonight, if you just got saved, and you're down here on the new Christian level, I cannot feed you while I feed the folks up here. But I've got to feed them at the same time I feed you. So don't become offended. By the way, if you don't do what I preach to the people that are up here, I won't be upset with you. If you got saved, some of you ladies got saved today, and I see you tomorrow walking down the street in a pair of pants, I'll not be critical of you. I'm trying to get you first to know for sure you're saved. Then I want to get you baptized. Then I want to get you a Bible. Then I want you to start reading the Gospel of John. I don't expect you to know the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy yet. I want you... But please listen to me carefully. Don't become offended because I have to feed the others too. Just walk down the line of the buffet and whatever you think you can handle, you take it. I don't ask you to grow from down here to right up here in a week or a month or a year. All I ask you is let me see some progress. That's all I ask you to do. I use this around the country, and I'm sure I've used it here. I know I have. Lady sit right there on that row, second row. She's been saved just a little while, a few days. She's on the second row, and she was so enraptured with my preaching, she just sat on the edge of the seat like that and stared. She got so carried away, she grabbed her purse. She kept on listening more intently. She reached in her purse, got a pack of cigarettes out. She took one out, put it in her mouth, sitting on the second row. She got a match and struck it on her pants and lit the cigarette, sitting right here in First Baptist Church of Hammond. And the Pharisees had a rally day. But the truth is, if you'd known the past of that lady, she may have been the best Christian in this room, because she had grown. She had grown. Some of you people expect new converts. In fact, you'll doubt their salvation. If they don't reach in 20 days, what took you 20 years to get to? Now, the honest, simple truth, folks, I'm not trying to grow a church. That's not my job. The motto of my ministry is, you know, I will not use my work to build my people, build my work, but I'll use my work to build my people. Now, I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying to build you. But since there's so many of you, diverse occupations, diverse social standings, diverse education levels, diverse financial positions, I have got to feed in 30 short minutes on Sunday morning and anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes on Sunday night. I've got to feed spiritual pablum and spiritual filet mignon. I've got to feed milk, and I've got to feed vegetables. I've got to feed a man that can't write his name because of illiteracy, and a man that has his doctor's degree. I've got to feed a little bus kid that's never lived in a house his own, goes home to a drunkard dad and maybe a harlot mother. At the same time, I've got to feed this young person who's been in First Baptist Church all of his life. I'm not trying to get you to stay here, though I want you to. I want you to become everything that God wants you to become. But it's not going to happen all at one time. It's going to be ye therefore, be becoming perfect. So when you get saved, just let me see you grow a little bit. It may be that I'll see you on the street while you're smoking a cigarette the next week. But it may be that last month you're drinking beer. Going from beer to cigarettes is growth in grace. Man stood right behind that pulpit and testified behind that pulpit, been saved a little while. And he said, since I got saved, I feel a H-E-L-L a lot better. Sitting right there. Man up in that balcony prayer gets excited and says, instead of saying amen, he'll say D-A-M-N, that's good. And you, but wait a minute, you should see where he was. I'm not concerned about where you are, I'm concerned about where you were in comparison to where you are. So ladies and gentlemen, this is your church. You don't have to be perfect to join this church. Only one is perfect, and that's me. Where are my amens? But you don't have to be perfect. You don't even have to be as mature as Brother Johnny Colston. Brother Colston has been saved many long years. This is your church. We're not going to vote you out. We're not going to vote you out. Because if we start voting people out, we're going to start with all of us. Somebody said, he voted somebody out of his church. I said, if I voted somebody out, I'd start with the non-tithers. They're robbing God. It's worse than bank robbing. But I'm simply saying, this is your church. You need not feel threatened. And if I see you on the street tomorrow and you're not doing all that I preach behind this pulpit, all I'm asking you to do is take whatever food you need. But please let me feed the mature Christians too, without you becoming offended. And you deeper lifers, please let me break it down and give a little pat to them every once in a while, so the person that hasn't had the privileges you have can also get fed. I've given you tonight the instructions for using First Baptist Church of Hammond. I've given you tonight the way to use the church and use me this year. You know what would be easier? It'd be easier, Brother Scott, if we get a bunch of people saved and then lock the doors. You talk about growing some great Christians. Just take them all. Stand up here beside me. Stand up here. Just take them all. And this represents everybody. Because you don't need any more than us, right?
Right.
You got us. You got the... So we take this step together. And then we take this step together. Quit going so fast, Brother Sisson. Oh, are you just sticking out farther than Brother Young? I see. And we grow a bit more together. And we grow a little more together. And I can take the Bible and the doctrine and the preaching and feed them exactly what they need and give them according to their spiritual needs, according to their spiritual level. And then take another step. Then take another step. Here's where we are. Way back there, Brother Young. Way back there. Brother, never stand up right there and face there. But here's the truth. Here's a baby Christian here. I want him to mature in the Lord, but he's going to have to sit in the same auditorium and hear what I give that guy down there. Here's a mature Christian down here. This is not a very good person I've chosen here. But here's a mature Christian here. He's got to sit and listen to the story about the lady smoking again and again and again and again and again. Because he needs the encouragement of that story. He needs to know that that lady was a member of this church and a respected member, and I was proud to be her pastor. He needs to know that. He's tired of hearing it. But the truth is, he needs to endure the pablum, because back yonder is a baby Christian. And he needs not to become offended when the big old beefsteak is served. Because that fellow up there must be fed also. Not to mention the fellow here in the middle, who's on his way to Christian growth. So for your sake, and your children's sake, don't become upset when I preach something you don't agree with. You'd be surprised how many people here agree with it that didn't agree with it when they first heard it. Just thank God that somebody cares enough about you to want to see you grow spiritually. And thank God there's a church here that's concerned about your needs. And if you have been saved for a long time, and I have to go back over here and talk about the elementary things of the gospel, don't sit there and say, I wish I'd go to some deeper life church. You hear me carefully. You don't get any deeper. You don't get any deeper than your willingness to feed the baby. So if you're over here, be patient as we feed in the same service the child here. If you're a little Christian here, don't become offended. We're not trying to make you today like he is. We're trying to make you today just a little bit more than you were yesterday. And a little bit more. And as we find out your imperfections, you likewise will find out our imperfections. Thank you, fellas. And so I said again, and I'll close. In 2000, keep coming. Keep coming. Number two, don't be angry because of something on the menu you don't like. Number three, don't think I'm shallow when I feed pablum to someone who just got saved. Or give an illustration that they need to hear that you've heard many times. Number four, don't choose what restaurant you go to because of size.
America's house, and I like to eat Olive Garden. We love the soup and salad at Olive Garden. And we just like, we like Olive Garden. But every time we go to that stinking place, we got to wait. Every time we go. So we go to some little place where the food's terrible, where we don't have to wait.
We don't go to eat, we go to get in.
We sit there at Olive Garden, and we sit there. We hold hands, we play footsies, we sit there. And I'll say to her, "They're seating, ma'am. We got here before they did. Look at that guy. He left his coat there to save a seat. Anybody home?" Now, we haven't gotten that salad that they have and eaten that fagioli. What's wrong? Huh? It's pasta fagioli, isn't it? We sit there and eat that pasta fagioli and that salad. And you know what? We walk out of that place saying it was worth the wait. Young couple just joined our church 2 weeks ago. They said, "Can you still throw coats away when people tell you seats?" Let me tell you tonight. You ought to go home and praise God that you go to a church where it's hard to find a seat. You stay right where you are. And whatever your needs are on the buffet, you take them. Don't criticize that which is not palatable to you or is not for you right now. If you eat the simple baby food, don't criticize the roast beef. If you eat the roast beef, don't criticize the pablum. Just take what you need and do what the Apostle Paul said. Peter said, "Grow in grace." Didn't say be grown in grace. Didn't say grow up in a hurry in grace. He didn't say grow quickly in grace. He just said, "Grow. Just grow." And that's all I want you to do. Now, in 2000, if you'll adhere to what I've said tonight, I promise you 1 year from tonight, you'll be a stronger Christian than you are tonight. And you'll be able to increase your menu somewhat. And things on the buffet that you never thought you'd eat, you'll enjoy a year from now. So just thank God that you go to a church where people, you have to look for a seat. It's hard to find a seat. And thank God you go to a church where the same, where the fellow that rode the bus is just as welcome as the fellow that rode the Rolls Royce. And thank God you go to a church where the guy that hadn't got a dime in his pocket is just as welcome as the fellow who's a multimillionaire. And thank God you go to a church where a fellow can't write his name is just as welcome as the fellow who is an intellectual. And then obey the command of God just to grow. If you can grow like this, that's good. But if you grow like this, you're obeying the command of God to grow in grace and be perfect, be becoming perfect, on your way to perfection, on your way to maturity. So just as I say so often, come to church and hang loose. If you don't like what's said, if you don't like it because they called down some teenagers, don't take that part of the menu. If you don't like it because Blackwell keeps you from hearing the sermon, sit over here. Or up there. But keep on listening and keep on coming and keep on taking what is necessary for you to obey the command of God to grow in grace. Shall we bow our heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, I've been repetitious tonight because it's so important. What I've said tonight, it won't feed anybody, but it teaches a lot of people how to eat. Nobody grew tonight, but I tried to teach a lot of people how they can grow. Bless the message to our hearts, to our people, and to their people, and their children. May we heed the admonition to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.